to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and I started this podcast because what I want for myself and for everyone is to be able to live a life that is awake to the truth that life is astounding and amazing and precious and miraculous, and the frankly most profound gift and experience and opportunity that we ever could have. And so my vision is that you all will send me your letters about anything in your life that is getting in the way of that, and I will respond. I have a life coaching practice in Washington, D.C. I was rated best life coach in Washington, D.C. the past 2 years, and I have my master's degree in positive psychology. So some of that is integrated into the podcast, and some of it is just the things that I've been mulling over in my own mind for the past few days, years, hours, whatever it may be. So today we are hearing from a listener who sent us a letter about social media and how social media is impacting their happiness. And I am so excited and glad that they sent us this because I think it's such a relevant challenge. I know that it's a problem that I myself have experienced in my own life. So we are hearing today from Social Media Sick. Alexia, we have Alexia, our engineer here in the studio. Alexia, are you ready to hear from social media sick?
Yes, I myself might be social media sick.
Yes, I think I'm a recovering social media. I've like had the disease, and I like to think that it's in remission. So social media sick. As you can clearly tell, we already very much relate to your letter. So here we go. Let's see. And I know that this writer is a male, so they don't say it in the letter, but they did identify themselves to me. So here's what he says. Dear Sarah, how do I not let social media dictate what my happiness should look like? Like, how do I not let other people's posts make me think that my life is supposed to be X, Y, and Z, but rather be happy for them, but understand that my happiness will look different? Well, I haven't figured out how to deal yet. So instead, I've been having an age crisis. I'm 34. I see old high school friends with kids, houses, and husbands. I'm single, with roommates, and have never really even dated, so it's kind of depressing in ways. But in other ways, it's confusing because I don't even want kids, but they make it seem like that's the norm. Please help me deal. Sincerely, social media sick. Wow, what a great letter. Short, but so pertinent to, I think, what most millennials have experienced at some time in their life, and even non-millennials who have gotten sucked into the social media warp. Any immediate reactions from you, Alexia?
I feel for them so much. Like, it almost feels like social media is the crafting of it, or looking at those spheres, is like the real world. It's just hard to remind yourself that it's really not the real world, that you have to see what is IRL.
Right.
And take that into account too. So I feel them so much.
Right. You're saying social media lives that people portray are not an accurate reflection of how their real life is.
It might not be.
It's like highly curated. Yeah, totally. So, social media sick. Wow, there are so many things that I want to share with you and with all of us today. But I think the place that I want to start is to talk a little bit about the research, and then I want to bring it back to something that I mentioned in a previous episode. I think the episode where I talked the most about it was the episode called Quarter Life Crisis, which is a concept that I call our quote unquote demons. And my personal experience and belief is that social media is so powerful because it sort of draws on our demons. So we'll get into that, but I do want to talk a bit about the research. And the truth is, and probably a lot of people have seen this research because there's been a number of different studies done. I'm not going to talk about all or even most of them, but the research does indicate that social media makes us less happy. There was a research study that came out of the University of California, San Diego, that studied Facebook specifically, and it said the more time that an individual spends on Facebook, the more likely that they are to experience adverse physical health side effects, mental health side effects, and their assessment of their life satisfaction decreases, right? So I thought that that was a particularly powerful study that shows that, yeah, spending more time on social media is linked to a decrease in not only our happiness, but even our physical health and our mental health, as well as our assessment of how our life is going. So there's lots of things happening. Social media is affecting our brains. And I think that most people who use social media have had at least one experience, like what you're describing, social media sick, where they find that after having engaged with the social media, instead of feeling better, they feel worse. And the research is indeed supporting that if we use social media on a consistent basis, then we may sort of adapt to that effect, but it is having measurable negative side effects on our physical health, our mental health, and our assessment of how our life is going. So to me, that's pretty striking. You know, that's a pretty striking reason for me personally to try and limit the amount of time that I do spend engaging with social media. So I wanted to mention the research. The research is pretty clear. The other thing that has been written about and that some of the research suggests is that social media almost acts as a drug. And so what happens is that they talk about the rise of technology and how the human brain has not had time to evolve at the same rate that technology has evolved. And so technology has evolved in such a way where our brains are not equipped to manage healthfully the sort of stimulus that social media and technology provides. And so as a result, what happens is that we accidentally become addicted to social media. So even though we might not set out with the intention of spending a lot of our time on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat, or even just on our phone texting, frankly, I guess that wouldn't count as social media, but it counts in my mind. What happens is that each time we post something and we get some likes, right? Or each time we get a direct message in our inbox, or each time that little ping that says like somebody has looked at your story, or somebody has sent you a note, or somebody has tagged you in a picture. Every time that happens, there is something that happens in our brain that's almost like a hit of dopamine. And it makes us feel elevated. It makes us feel stimulated, right? It makes us feel this sort of high. and the high could be good or bad, but it makes us want to always go back and get more of that stimulus. And so even if we're not valuing social media in the beginning, right, that stimulus has been shown to sort of train the brain to keep going back for more. And that turns out to be very dangerous because we're becoming addicted to this thing that, per the first study, diminishes our physical, mental well-being and diminishes our assessment of how our life is going. And so we have created for ourselves a bit of a problem. So I want to take a quick pause and see what Alexia thinks of the research that I've shared so far.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, what a conundrum that, like, and even thinking, right, like, if I'm feeling down about my life, I'm going to go into social media, and then it being just like the spiral of like, and then I log precisely off because I saw something that made me upset or that made me feel less than who I am. So I'm going to put my phone away for a while, but then I'm going to get bored and wonder what's going on. Right. So I'm going to pick it up again. Maybe I'm just speaking from my own experience, but I'm sure.
I think you speak for all of us, okay, Alexia. Cool, cool, cool. I can relate.
Yeah. So very, very valid research. And I think, like, knowing that might liberate some people of like, this really is like chemically something that that we get off from, like, totally, going on social media, but like, exactly, what are the other ramifications because of that? I think that's very important for people to know in this first step of like maybe liberating themselves from, right, that emotional tie.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that picture that you painted, the way that it works, that we're like, oh, cool, you know, let me not go on social media. And then we might be feeling down or we might be feeling bored. And we're like, oh, let me just get a quick hit. You know, that's the meaning of this. And there's another thing that I like. It's not research. It's actually a philosophy. I don't know if any of you have heard of Alan Watts. He's a philosopher who's long since passed away, but I love his work. It's amazing. And one of the things that he talked about many years ago is how we become addicted to thinking, and how when we have some empty space, we are very uncomfortable with it and we feel like we have to fill up that space. And so I think social media has taken that thinking addiction, or the addiction to not having any empty space in our mind, to a whole nother level. So the first thing is first, the research, the verdict is in. Spending a lot of time on social media does diminish our happiness. And then the second thing is that social media has an addictive effect, whereby when we are using social media and we get responses or we get likes or we get tagged or whatever the case may be, it gets us off, right? As Alexia said, there's a hit of dopamine in our brain that makes us coming back for more, whether we like it or not. And so just like any addiction, if that is the case, we would have to break that addiction, and breaking that addiction would require some conscious effort, right? It would require some rules that we put in place. It would require us to have some clear boundaries. It would require us to know what we're up against. So the third thing that I want to talk about is one of my own theories about why social media is so addictive. And here's what I think. Social media sick. This is what I've experienced, and you kind of hint at it in your letter. So like I said, in the episode about quarter life crisis, I talk about two things. I talk about the concept of identifying your core values, which are those core key principles that are most deeply essential and important to you as an individual to organize your life around in order to feel that you are living in a way that is meaningful, that is aligned with your truth, that is authentic, and that is ultimately satisfying and fulfilling and does not leave any sense of cognitive dissonance or sort of dis-ease or guilt in the body. So that's what our core values are. On the other hand, we also have these things that I refer to as demons. And our demons instead are the values that we've acquired along the way that we are also putting stock into, that we are in ways orienting our life around, but that when we look at it on paper, when we think it through, we find that those are not the values that we as individuals want to claim. Or those are not the values that we as individuals are truly and deeply being served by. Rather, those are values that we have felt we must orient around in order to, for example, fit in order to satisfy the rules of society, in order to satisfy our parents. Or, and this is something that I got into in the Quarter Life Crisis episode as well, or, and I think most significantly, the demons can be something that we are orienting around because we feel that we must do so in order to satisfy our contingencies of self-worth, right? And so what I described in Quarter Life Crisis is what contingencies of self-worth are, which is a contingency of self-worth is a criteria that we have set up on which to measure our worth. And this way of setting up our self-esteem and our self-worth is very problematic because the truth is, and what this show is founded on, is the truth that our worth and our value is not measurable, okay? It's inherent. It is innate. It is immeasurable and infinite, right? And so any problem whereby we set up the challenges to measure our worth, that is an insoluble problem. So any solution that we come up with for that problem is going to be flawed. And so contingencies of self-worth are a solution that we as human beings have developed as a solution to the quote-unquote problem of measuring our worth. And what contingencies of self lead to, I reference a piece of research by a woman named Jennifer Crocker, who is one of the leading people who has studied what's called contingent self-esteem. And she has this great paper, I mentioned it before, called The Costly Pursuit of Self-Esteem. And the whole idea is that if what we are building is a contingent sense of self-esteem or a contingent sense of self-worth, then that sense is going to be very volatile. It is not going to be consistent. It's not going to be lasting. And it is going to sort of be at the whim of what is happening in our life, which sets us up for sometimes feeling really good, but also sometimes feeling really bad. And basically the outcome of having a contingent sense of self-worth is that there are only two options. You either feel in any given moment superior or inferior, right? Nothing in between. Because if we are setting up the problem as a problem of measuring our self-worth, then we are always going to be somewhere on a scale in comparison to others, right? But the truth is that our worth is not meant to be measured. Our worth is inherent and the same as everybody else's, right? And so the place where we want to be, which I can't say I've gotten here fully myself, but it's a goal and it's something that I work on with all of my coaching clients, is to develop a sense of self-worth and self-esteem that comes from a connection with that inherent worth, right? With that human worth, from being in touch with the reality that life itself is incredibly valuable. And if we are a life, then we are incredibly valuable, right? And so contingencies of self-worth instead set us up to say, well, how valuable am I? And we look at all these different criteria. And based on those criteria, we decide if we have value or not, okay? And so the demons are often equivalent to the contingencies of self-worth. And as you can imagine, satisfying your contingencies of self-worth is, I think, the most, well, maybe not, because there's some drugs that are very addictive. So maybe not. But satisfying our contingencies of self-worth is one of the most addictive things that we do in this life. Why? Why would that be? Well, it's because feeling worthless is a terrible feeling that none of us want to have. And so these contingencies of self-worth, until we identify them for what they are, which is little lies, right? Little liars, they have a tremendous amount of control over us. Because if we are not paying attention to them and satisfying them and meeting that criteria, then we feel worthless, right? That volatile sense of self-esteem comes right out and we're at the bottom of the spectrum, right? And that is a desperate feeling. That is a feeling that all of us want to get rid of as soon as it comes into our body. And so my belief is that a big part of the reason why social media is so addictive is because social media plays right into those contingencies of self-worth, right? So for example, some common contingencies of self-worth, I'll tell you what some of mine are. So one of my contingencies of self-worth is attractiveness. Okay, social media is like prime stomping ground for people to show how their best look, right? So of course, when I go onto social media, I'm looking at other people and I'm thinking either I'm inferior or I'm posting a picture where I look really good and getting positive reinforcement on that. And then I feel elevated, right? I might not say I feel superior, but the reality is that is what's happening. And that's where that elevated feeling comes from. And that's why I'm getting addicted, right? So attractiveness, you know, these are not ones that I personally struggle with. I have others, but some that I talk about frequently with people are contingencies around status, like professional status, how much money we have, like lifestyle, how big your house is, all of the things that represent status or financial wealth, right? That's a really common contingency of self-worth. Another common contingency of self-worth is relationship status. So being in a relationship, period, being able to show I have a partner and my partnership is good, right? So as we talked about last time, it's coming less from that, what I talked about as a natural and authentic and understandable craving to connect with another human. No, on this side, what it has become also for many of us is a contingency of self-worth, whereby we're not just saying, I desire partnership. We're saying, if I do not have a partner, if I do not have a romantic partner, then that must mean my worth is lower, or I am inferior to the people who do have that, right? And if I can demonstrate that I have a partner, then my worth is higher again. Okay, so this is what contingencies of self-worth are. And social media, the way that I think of it, in many ways, and it does have benefits and we'll get into that, but in many ways, it's one big like cesspool of contingencies of self-worth where we're just out there sort of trying to get validation on our contingencies of self-worth so that we can feel worthwhile, so that we can feel esteemed, or where the things that other people are sharing are threatening our contingencies of self-worth, whereby we feel inferior, we feel worthless, we feel that our esteem or our worth has in a moment, just in the snap of a fingers, been diminished. And so you can see why, if this is what's happening with social media, it would be very addictive. Because of course, feeling a sense of worth and esteem is addictive, which is why having a contingent form of self-worth or esteem is problematic, because what it sets us up for is to be constantly addicted to anything that is going to satisfy those contingencies. And the challenge that we have in our modern era that has never been there before is that we have a constant space, actually at least 5 or 10 constant spaces when we look at all the social media options, of where we can turn to each time we feel that pang of wanting to satisfy a contingency of self-worth. And that is problematic, because the more that we feed our contingencies of self-worth, the stronger they grow. So I would argue that it's possible that contingent self-worth is getting worse as a result of the social media era, because, for example, you know, in my grandmother's generation, yeah, of course, they had contingencies of self-worth still. You know, they still had famous people, they still had, you know, pinups, there was still a lot of expectations around, for example, marriage and money. But what they didn't have was the same ease and rate at which to go about trying to validate their contingencies of self-worth. And when we don't have the opportunity, or, and this is where the next important step comes in, or when we don't take the opportunity to validate our contingencies of self-worth, guess what happens? Those contingencies start to lose some of their power over us. They start to lose some of their hold. So let me take a quick pause and see what Alexia is thinking of this overview that I just laid out of my idea of why social media is so addictive and how it plays into the contingencies of self-worth, aka our demons. What do you think, Alexia?
Yeah, I think social media definitely amplifies those demons that you were talking about. I think I look towards social media when I'm feeling less than myself, in order to fulfill those contingencies, or like measure myself compared to other people, or think about like, what is it that I now need to do that other people are doing, right, in order to create this happiness that I think that I will have. So I think that it's very important and pertinent for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I like your observation that it's not just the hit that we get when we go on social media and get the likes. It's also, you know, when we're feeling kind of an emptiness, or we're feeling disconnected from our worth, we're like, oh, okay, where do I turn to meet this criteria? How do I fill up again? And social media is sort of a quick answer to that. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Thanks, Alexia. That's wonderful. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how exactly we can begin to break this addiction. And lastly, if there are any benefits at all to social media. Welcome back to This Miraculous Life with me, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and our amazing producer / engineer, Alexia Brown. So thanks for being here, Alexia. You always have the best sort of weigh-ins on what we're talking about. So today we are hearing from Social Media Sick, who has been wondering about how to not have social media negatively impact his happiness. especially the element of looking at people that he grew up with and seeing where they're at in their lives and comparing that to where he is at in his life and having that make him feel bad. And what we've been getting into is, A, yes, it's true that social media, if we spend too much time on it, diminishes our happiness. Fact. B, that social media is addictive. And C, that my belief is that the reason why it's so addictive is because it plays into these things called contingencies of self-worth. These little liars that we use to measure and assess our worth. And if we believe those lies, then we become beholden to them, right? If we believe the lie that our worth is contingent, then we have to meet the contingencies that it's contingent on. Otherwise, we believe we have no worth. And so the next step is to dispel the notion of those contingencies of self-worth. And I've come up with some specific steps that I use with myself, that I use with my clients, to just start thinking about what it might look like to liberate ourselves from our contingencies of self-worth, to no longer measure our worth on these certain criteria, but rather to start to behave as if our worth is implicit, right? Even if we don't feel it, okay? So for example, some of the steps that I've come up with, the ones that I think are relevant, number one, do not let the contingencies of self-worth, aka demons, trick you into thinking that you have lower or lesser worth. So for example, social media sick. You talk about seeing on social media that friends that you had have houses, they have kids, they have husbands. So what I want to say to you is do not let your friends, kids, houses, or husbands trick you into thinking that you have lower or lesser worth because of any of those things. It doesn't matter if your friend has a mansion and you have no home at all. You and your friend are still human beings of equal worth, right? So first and foremost, just simply don't buy into that lie, okay? Secondly, this is a second step towards liberating ourselves from the contingencies of self-worth, diminishing the hold that they have on us, and therefore, I think, diminishing our attachment to social media. Number two, allow yourself to sit with discomfort and not clamor toward making it disappear. Allow your true values, in other words, your core values, to inform your behavior, even though that means the discomfort of an unmet contingency may linger. Okay, so this one, I think, is very much pertinent to what Alexia was sharing about how when she's feeling a little bit down or a little bit empty, social media is a tool that she'll use to kind of fill that space. And this is where I think that there is a huge opportunity. I too have used social media in this way, or even more so if something happens that makes me feel bad about a contingency of self-worth, like let's say somebody else posts a picture of me where I think I look ugly and then I feel like I have lower worth, there's a strong pull to go and do something to satisfy that contingency of self-worth, right? Like there's a lot of discomfort around the feeling that a contingency of self-worth that I have is not being validated or not being satisfied. But just like with quitting smoking or quitting anything else addictive, what will happen is that in the absence of that thing, we will go through withdrawal, right? We will feel extreme discomfort. We will feel like, oh shoot, I need to know how valuable I am, or I need other people to know that I'm successful or that I'm pretty, right? And in the absence of that validation, there will be a lot of discomfort and a strong urge, right? A strong pull to go and do something to fill that space, to meet that urge. And what we must do if we want to be free from our contingencies of self-worth is to sit in that space, to sit in that discomfort, to have an entire day where maybe we do feel ugly or unsuccessful or unlikable, but we don't do anything to feel more successful or more pretty or more likable. Why? Because prettiness, success, quote unquote, likability, those things are not core values. Those things are criteria that we use to validate ourselves. So the more free we are from them, even if it means days, weeks, months of discomfort, the better our life will be and the more accessible happiness will be to us in the long term. So because, Alexia, you shared this great example of that empty feeling when, you know, you're feeling a little bit down and then you're like, oh, let me go look at social media so that I feel better. Can you tell me if this particular step makes sense to you?
Yes, makes a lot of sense to just like, and another thing that I started thinking about when, like, as you're saying this is like, I am a very imaginative person as well. Like, that's just how I cope with life. Like, I like to imagine the things that I want. And then in some ways, I think that social media might make that a like more detrimental trait, I think, because I will see things on social media and then like be very imaginative of like, what would my life be like if I could live their life? Or like, what is my life going to look like if I don't get those things that I think I want? So I think being able to sit in the present and thinking about like, if I feel like I have a lack, to be able to just sit there and feel it, is more important than like making all of these like mental shifts in order to cope.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Woof. Yeah. That's such a good one. And it's something I feel like is worth talking about in a future episode, which is that this idea of vision, of goals, of meeting our expectations for ourselves. I think those are ones that are really complicated because I think everybody tells a story that vision and goals is wonderful, right? That there's there's no downsides to that. But I don't buy that story. I think, and what I find with my clients is that often our vision for our life can actually become a demon.
Okay. Yes.
And a contingency of self-worth because, like you said, then we're not being present. And if, as things turn out in ways that are different from what we envision, we can feel like that's a failure.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's such a wonderful point. Yeah. Thank you for that, Alexia. And I think, vision, goals. I think that's something that is worth talking so much more about because there's so much good there, but I think there's also a lot there that can be harmful. And perhaps vision is one, I'm just thinking out loud here, perhaps vision is something that can be both a contingency of self-worth as well as a positive thing. And so what we have to do is sort of tease apart which part is which. You know what I mean? Like I'm thinking about myself and even for example, my desire to do this podcast, which is something that I really wanted to do. It was a goal that I had. The founder of Full Service Radio will tell you that I bothered him for a couple of years in order to get the opportunity to have this show. So I put some effort in it, right? There was some vision there, but different from goals that I've had in the past, I knew that if I didn't get it, it would be okay. You know, so it's like, how do we find this balance between being willing to put effort to create something that matters to us, but also not seeing the manifestation of that thing as an enhancement or a detraction from our worth. So, woof, thanks for bringing that up, Alexia. And that's something that's probably important for us to talk more about in the future. So the last point that I want to share with social media sick about how to liberate yourself from your contingencies of self-worth is allow yourself to say no to things that you are only doing to validate yourself, earn your worth, or please your demons, okay? So what that would mean is when you are thinking about posting something on social media or going on social media, asking yourself, what is the motivation behind this? Is there any part of a core value here, right? Or is this something that I'm doing just to feel a little bit more of a sense of worth, to feel a little bit more esteem, to get a little bit of validation, to feel a little bit more liked? And if the answer to those questions is yes, right, with the exception of the core values one, if the answer is yes, I'm doing this to get validation, yes, I'm doing this to feel liked, then you can say, okay, I'm not going to do it, right? For example, beyond social media, an example would be that I've experienced going to a party that I don't really want to go to just because I know that when I show up to that party, I'm going to feel like I fit in better to a certain group of people. I'm going to feel more likable in the future, right? As a result of being integrated into this group. If I dress a certain way, I'm probably going to get positive feedback on my appearance. So I'm going to that party only to validate my contingencies of self-worth. Same with a lot of social media posts. You know, if we're posting something about our and our performance, about our a picture that we think we look good in, whatever. And the problem is the only one who knows why you're posting this, if it's more about a contingency of self-worth or more about a value, the only person who knows is you. And so, you know, I think it's something to check in with yourself about consistently. And it probably means not only checking social media less, but also posting a little bit less. And so the last thing that I want to say along that vein is that the things that we do in order to live into our core values are very different from the things that we do in order to validate our contingencies of self-worth. When we do something because it is driven by a core value, we are not doing it to validate ourselves. We're not doing it because if we do it or don't do it, it will cause us to feel inferior or superior. We're doing it because if we don't do it, we will feel that we are not being ourself, right? We're feeling that we're not living in the way that is aligned with our beliefs, right? We're feeling that we're not living in a way that is aligned with the principles by which it is essential for us to operate. In other words, we'll feel guilty, you know? We'll feel that we're not being a good and decent person, okay? So that's what core values are about. And when we don't do that, yes, we feel bad, but it's not because we feel worthless. As opposed to the contingencies, when they're not being met, we feel worthless. And so the final thing is, I don't think social media is all bad. I think that social media is a great equalizer in terms of allowing people of all different income levels, all different backgrounds, to have access to a wide audience, to get their message out there, and to become an influencer, right? So to me, that is the primary value of social media. And yeah, you know, maybe also that allows us to see what's going on a little bit in the lives of people who we're distant from but care about. I think there's a little something there. So I don't think social media is all bad, but as per the previous points, I think it's important that we restrict our use of social media if we want to operate at optimal happiness level. So Whoo, social media sick. Thank you for writing us. As you can tell, even just for me and Alexia, we all have experienced what you're experiencing. So I want to summarize some of the points. Number one, it's true. The research does indicate that spending more time on social media diminishes our happiness. Number two, social media has an addictive effect. So there is a drive to keep going back for more, whether we like it or not. Number three, that addictive effect, in my book, most likely is a result of the fact that social media is prime stomping ground for our contingencies of self-worth and fueling and refueling our contingencies of self-worth is inherently addictive. Number four, I think I'm at number four. We can liberate ourselves from our contingencies of self-worth. Now, make no mistake about it, liberating ourselves from our contingencies of self-worth is a lifelong project, not an overnight project. But some of the ways that we can begin to do that are by knowing that when we see something that makes us feel that we are inferior or we have lower worth, not falling into that lie, not believing that lie. Number two, when we feel the discomfort of not being aware of our worth, right? Or our esteem, or when we feel an emptiness, we can allow ourselves to sit with that. We can get comfortable with discomfort. And by doing that, the contingencies lose their power. And we can say no thank you to the things that we discover we are doing simply to validate our contingencies, simply to validate ourselves. So if we find out that that's the primary drive behind why we're doing something, we cannot do that. And then it goes back to the previous one, which is not doing that is going to make us feel uncomfortable. But if we can sit with the discomfort, right? If we can be uncomfortable, then the contingencies of self-worth lose their power, because their whole power is that they make us feel uncomfortable. Therefore, we have to orient our lives around them. And then lastly, in terms of, okay, if I'm not orienting towards these contingencies of self-worth, what in the world am I doing? Which is that we're orienting towards our core values, which the feeling that we get in the body when we orient towards those, it's going to be different from this getting off feeling. It's going to be different from this high, this hit. What it's going to be is more of a deep level of alignment, right? Of peace in the body and the mind that feels we are living in a way that is true to us and true to our principles. So it's a very different satisfying feeling, right? And so it really can't be mistaken for that same high that we get from satisfying our contingencies of self-worth. And so the last thing I'll offer, which is something that I've done, is that if this is something that you buy and you feel like you do want to liberate yourself from some of those effects of social media, because what we've talked about, it is addictive, we are not in full like state of right mind and trying to go on social media less, which is why so many people fail at it, I recommend setting up some sort of boundaries and some sort of safeguards for yourself. For instance, what I have personally done, I have an app on my computer. It's called Stay Focused. I pretty much only use Google Chrome, but it's amazing. You can set it up so that it limits the number of minutes that you spend on social media. So I have like a 10-minute a day limit, which it's gotten to a point that I don't even use, which is amazing. But it cuts you off after 10 minutes and it doesn't let you reset how much time you've allotted yourself until the following day. It only works with Google Chrome, but something like this, like if this is an addiction, these are the types of things we need. Another, there's many apps for the phone. I think the one that I have is called Zero Willpower. Yes, that's correct. And so it disallows me from accessing social media in my web browsers. I can re-download the apps, but basically what I do is that if I feel that I have something that is genuinely served according to my core values, that is genuinely served by posting it on social media or connecting with somebody else's social media, I'll be like, okay, let me download Instagram or download Facebook, share this thing or look at this thing that somebody else had to share, and then I'll get rid of it so that that inclination to use it as a hit of dopamine is not there. So I recommend, if you are looking to liberate yourself, being willing to set up some of those boundaries and safeguards so that we can all embark on this process of liberating ourselves from not only the addiction of social media, but the addiction of our contingencies of self-worth. We can embark on that together. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, thoughts, things that you're wondering about, things that you're not sure how it fits in with living a miraculous life, please write to me at sarah@thismiraculouslife.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. On Instagram and Facebook @Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.